Summer is well along. School supplies are on sale in local stores, and so are boxes of candy marked Happy Halloween. But there's still plenty of time, weeks of time, to grab a good book and settle into a beach blanket or the shade of a sturdy tree. We're visiting weekly with independent bookstores for a segment we call Summer Reads. And this week we check in with J. Aubrey Herzog once again at Northtown Books in Arcata. Jay, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Very good to have you. Tell us a little bit of history about the store for the folks who might not know it.
So the store's been around since 1965. We were originally in the north part of Arcata. That's why it's called Northtown, even though we're downtown now. We've been in the current space that we're in since the late 70s.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been there?
I've been working here since 2001.
Uh-huh. And it seems like if any town could support multiple local bookstores, it would be Arcata. Are you alone, or are there other independents in Arcata?
We're the only new bookstore in Arcata. There's another used bookstore, Tin Can Mailman, which is right across the street from us. When I first moved here, actually, there were probably quite a few more, but we're down to two. There's one new bookstore and one used bookstore here in town.
So let's talk about the kinds of things that that you recommend for summer reading. And does your list change at all? I mean, it seems like all the people at Northtown Books are putting out recommendations on the web fairly often and in the store. So do you have like seasonal flavors that you tend to go with for the summer?
Everyone thinks of summer reads as being like a light and fluffy kind of thing. And I tend towards the more quirky end of that spectrum. So my picks might not be your typical summer reads.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm excited. Let's hear what number one is.
Well, the first one actually is a book that's quite fun to read, and it's Mr. Know-It-All by John Waters, the filmmaker.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very engaging and funny, witty book about... The first half of the book is basically about his films and how he tried to sell out to Hollywood. And it's very entertaining. He has a lot of funny anecdotes, and... He just has a way with a turn of phrase.
He tried to sell out to Hollywood, but Hollywood wouldn't take it.
Well, it's funny because he points out that with the exception of his movie Hairspray, none of his movies made money, but they kept on giving him more money to make movies. So he just kept on.
He is a unique voice, though, and I would have to wonder what it's like in print. I've watched several interviews with him, and he's a man of considerable skills, talents, and humor.
I have to admit that I do, when I'm reading it, I do hear his voice. And there is an audiobook version of it, too, that I'd almost be tempted to reread it in audio form.
It's a really interesting career, too, because John Waters is the kind of guy who has made movies the way he wants to make them, basically. Like you said, he tried to sell out, and so he ended up making his own stuff anyway.
Yes, he did. And he has a lot of other interests. So the second half of the book is, books about his dream house. They're kind of more like fantastic essays about subjects that he's interested in.
Okay, so you get a little look inside the head of John Waters.
That's right.
When you had before, okay. And what would be your next thing on your list?
Well, I have a couple books here that are about music. There's a new book, and it's just came out a couple months ago, called Pick Up the Pieces, is Excursions in 70s Music by John Corbett. And this book is an interesting he goes through quite a few different artists and different genres, but each chapter is written in kind of a different point of view, because some of them are pieces about bands or music that he liked when he was growing up, when he was a teenager. Some of them are about music that he's gotten into more recently from that time period. So there's an interesting mix of like his more kind of naive attitude towards music as a younger person, and the more sophisticated attitude he has now as a music writer.
Does he think 70s music holds up the test of time, at least?
I think he comes at it from a lot of different perspectives, because there's pieces that are just lists of stuff, there's pieces that are like personal essays, there's pieces that are kind of more standard kind of rock critic kind of explorations. So it really goes, and it kind of runs the gamut, because there's everyone from Sun Ra to Devo to jazz people like Julius Hemphill. So he writes a lot from a lot of different perspectives, and I think I appreciated that. They had a kind of more almost of a kaleidoscopic feel to it.
I get the reference in the title, Pick Up the Pieces. That was a song by the Average White Band. That
And he talks about them in one of the chapters, too.
A lot of radio airplay. It's interesting, too, in the YouTube age, I find, to be able to go back and discover artists from a period in which you, well, like me, was listening to basically AM radio.
Right. Yeah, I find myself doing the same thing.
You mentioned a couple of books on music, Pick Up the Pieces not being the only one.
Another book that just recently came out in paperback is a book called Playing Changes by Nate Chinen, and it's a book about kind of the modern state of jazz today. And it's very interesting because he really has a very open mind. And he doesn't have any kind of boundaries about... There's always... People that write about jazz are always like, oh, is this actually jazz? Is this not jazz? He doesn't seem too concerned about that, only in talking about how other people might define it, but he himself doesn't seem to have a strong definition, and he kind of like encourages the boundaryless aspect of music.
And I see that one has its own website at playingchangesbook.com.
Yeah, and he has a great little discography of after every chapter about the records he's talking about, so it helps you kind of track down what the state of the art is today.
Jay Aubrey Herzog, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, he's a bookseller at Northtown Books in Arcata. This is our summer reads segment for this week. We're continuing with summer reads a few more weeks into August. There is some summer left. Got questions, comments about what Jay's talking about or some recommendations of your own? Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Further down your list, what do you got, Jay?
There's a book that actually is coming out in a couple weeks. It's a novel by a writer named Nell Zink called Doxology. And it's a very funny, witty book about three people that form a really bad punk band in the Lower East Side of New York in the 90s. And it tracks them as they enter the post 9/11 world of New York. And then it's a very witty, and on a line by line basis, she's one of the best new writers that I've read in a long time.
And so, what do you find in the style that appeals to you the most from Nelson?
She has a very sardonic, just her descriptions of the characters and their environment is very sardonic and very. She knows how to sum stuff up in a phrase.
And okay, so move. Let's go further down your list.
Another book I really liked is a book by a graphic novel by Jaime Hernandez called "Is This How You See Me?" And I've been a longtime fan of his work for many decades at this point. This book is very interesting because he has a group of characters that he's followed for probably since the early 80s, and he's actually aged them in time appropriately. So this book is very interesting because it's about the characters going back to have this reunion with their old friends. So it goes back and forth between this present day reunion, and it has flashbacks to 1979 when they first knew each other, and it kind of goes back and forth between the time frames.
I had just run across actually a blurb for this yesterday, and these are characters that came out in a book called Love and Rockets.
That's right. Yeah. They were that was their long time the comic book that they originally appeared the stories originally appeared in. This is a nice graphic novel collection of the latest story arc from that.
We got to talking with one of the other people on Summer Reads about graphic novels, and I wonder if that's sort of an ongoing. Thing that you have to deal with to try to convince people they're not just comic books. So there's more.
Yeah, I know it's an ongoing thing that you do, and I sometimes get slightly annoyed, especially when sometimes parents will come in and their children will want to read graphic novels, and they say, "Oh no, you should read a real book. You shouldn't read a graphic." And I they're the parent and they're able to choose their own children's reading material, but at the same point, I think, well, you know, it really is nice to have. For kids to have an entry into reading that they're excited about. And I don't think you can discriminate, say, oh, this is a real book and this is not, you know.
Yeah, they are still reading words. Do you?
That's true.
Do you find, and I haven't asked this of anybody else in the Summer Reads interviews, but are reading is reading voracity changing at all with the fact that people are texting each other so much that they certainly have to read more frequently?
That's true. They read more frequently. Sometimes I worry about, and myself in this regard, of my attention span being affected by shorter texts, you know, and being on the internet all the time is sometimes it's kind of daunting sometimes to think, well, am I actually reading as much as I used to?
Uh-huh.
I am reading something, but I might not be reading as many books as I used to.
That could be. How many books do you think you read a year to make your recommendations?
I would say probably close to 50 books a year.
50. That's not bad. That's for a guy working at a bookstore. Let's actually take a phone call here. We have one on the line. Bob in Arcata. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jay in Arcata.
Thank you much. I'd like to ask Jay about a bumper sticker that his store puts out and why they feel the need to subject the mother of a young reader to explain what it means when that child sees that bumper sticker. And I'll take the answer on
it. What is the bumper sticker?
Well, I can't say it.
You can't say it on the radio. Okay. Well, all right. Thanks for that. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that, Bob. Jay?
So we have a book called, we have a bumper sticker that says read an effing book. And we've had a couple people complain about it, but for the most part, I think people appreciated the sentiment. I understand the aspect of, you know, children being, having to explain that to children, but it's just a way to grab attention and have a message to people.
And does it advertise Northtown Books on it? I mean,
it's just a little bumper sticker that we sell at the counter.
All right, so we got a list of five here. Is there anything else that you can share with us?
Well, I was going to talk about a couple books that are kind of bestsellers at the store.
Mm-hmm.
We have a book. Speaking of graphic novels, there's another graphic novel called Homegrown by Andrew Santos, and it's a locally produced, self-published graphic novel about a year in the life of a Humboldt County guerrilla grower, and it's kind of a snapshot of a time. It's from the 80s and 90s, and it's a very interesting graphic novel about that subject. Mm-hmm. And that's been very popular. We've had a lot of people actually, because it's not widely available, we've had a lot of people mail order it through the website of our store.
And I notice you have some other regional authors that you feature work from.
Yes. We have a lot of local indigenous Native American writers that we feature also. There's a new book called Kam Tem, A Journey Towards Healing, which is kind of a collection of local Native writing and writers talking about the indigenous knowledge and the kind of local tribal local tribal information about that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's Kam Tem, A Journey Towards Healing. I wanted to ask you before we go, because I noticed on the website that you guys are wrapping up Find Waldo Arcata.
Yes, we do. We've done that for the past, 5 years. We kind of spearheaded this thing in Arcata where a lot of local businesses have hide Waldo, have little figures of Waldo, and kids have a little passport, and they have to get it stamped and find a number of Waldo. And then we have a big prize drawing, and actually our big prize drawing is this Saturday. We're having a big Waldo, the end of our Where's Waldo July prize hunt.
So. And is this an annual thing in Arcata?
We've done it for a few years, and it seems like a lot of the local businesses are very into it, and they donate a lot of prizes, so the kids really love it as well.
Let me go down the titles you mentioned before we have to go, Jay. Mr. Know-It-All by John Waters, Pick Up the Pieces, Excursions in 70s Music from John Corbett, Playing Changes by Nate Chinon, Doxology from Nell Zink, Is This How You See Me by Jaime Hernandez, that's a graphic novel, regional graphic novel, Homegrown by Andrew Santos, and we still struggle with the pronunciation on Kam Tem, Journey Towards Healing. That's also Native American issues from the North Coast. That's a good list. Jay Aubrey Herzog, always good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks a lot.
Jay's bookseller at Northtown Books in Arcata, in business, as you mentioned, since 1965. Summer Reads here on the Jefferson Exchange.